Okay, today we're going to discuss matzah, the dual symbolism of matzah at the Seder, and we'll try to learn things from it and apply it in our own lives. And there's a lot here. Okay, matzah is called lechem oni in the Torah in Devarim Perek Tezayin. Lechem oni means bread of affliction. We ate matzah as slaves in Mitzrayim. It's a negative thing. It's a bad thing. We ate matzah as slaves. The simple pshat is that when you're a slave, they don't give you, you know, these nice fluffy bagels, you know, from Holy Bagel or from the bagel stores that, you know, and you don't get, you know, six big, you know, beautiful challah rolls for lunch if you're a slave. They give you matzah. They don't give you good stuff. So matzah is bread of affliction. Matzah is what slaves eat, as opposed to bread. And some of the Rishonim say that pshat. Other Rishonim say a little further than that, more ideas. The Abudram quotes something. The Abudram is a Rishon, and he wrote a perush on the Siddur, the Haggadah. So he writes that matzah, when you're a slave owner, you know, you want to feed your slaves and then it should last a long time. So matzah digests a little more slowly. This is on page 2 where it says number 1. This is from the Rav Mirsky's Haggadah, the Hegyone Haggadah. It's fabulous. If you're going to get one Haggadah, well, I shouldn't say that. There are a lot of Haggadahs. It's a fabulous Haggadah. Hebrew, English, I used it a lot. Of Mirsky Shlita, really beautiful ideas. So he quotes in the Abudram that when you're a slave, when you're an owner, you want to save money and the tircha, so you feed your slaves matzah, which digests more slowly, and then, you know, sort of you can survive with a little bit of less if you're a slave. That's the Abudram. Rav Mirsky quotes from the Sforno and others another idea. And this will become very beautiful, B'zat Hashem, towards the end of this year. Why they eat matzah in Mitzrayim? Because they came home for their lunch break, and then the sarim formed back quickly, so they had a rush to get back to work. So their wives didn't have time to let the dough rise into bread; it had to stay matzah. That's what he quotes here. I'll just read it inside first. Shemir ruo sam hamitzrim lefos lachma matzah v'lashuv la'avodasam. He quotes it from the Sforno and others that the Mitzrim forced them to go back to work. So they were rushed to go back to work during their lunch break, and that's why they didn't have time to make bread. Rather, it was matzah. And we'll see later, the opposite happens when we left Mitzrayim. So matzah is a symbol of slavery. For a couple hundred years, it was terrible. We're slaves. Matzah, it doesn't taste good. Digestion, we're in a rush. That's matzah, lechem oni. The word oni means bread of affliction. The Gemara also says, we discussed in class, oni is oni, poor man's bread, right? Poor man's bread, a broken piece, matzah. So matzah is symbolism of slavery, a symbolism of being poor. Okay, no question about it. But, the front page is an outline. But, number 2, matzah is also, obviously, the bread of freedom. Why do we eat matzah on Pesach? So one reason is, because the Mitzrim rushed us out. It says in Shmos, Perek Yud Beis, V'lo yachul lismamea. We couldn't wait, right? Why do we eat matzah when we left Mitzrayim? Because the Mitzrim rushed us out. So matzah, and many Rishonim say this, the Chinuch and others, matzah is the symbol of freedom. We left Mitzrayim quickly. And so when we eat matzah, we're reminded of the excitement of being rushed out of Mitzrayim. This idea of being rushed out regarding the matzah, it's also in Devarim, Perek Tezayin, Ki B'chipazon, that's us. You left quickly. The Mefarshim point out it's the same pasuk. It says Lechem Oni and Ki B'chipazon in the same pasuk. So you see, matzah is also a symbol of freedom, that we know. By the way, this is an interesting question. Why do we eat matzah when we left Mitzrayim? What does the Torah say? Because we just read it. What does the Torah say? Because the Mitzrayim rushed us out. So if they didn't rush us out, we would have eaten chametz. But it was Pesach already. We got the laws of Pesach back on Rosh Chodesh. That's a really good question, which we're not going to discuss now. That's a separate shiur. It's a 45-minute shiur, whatever. That's a separate shiur. That's a good question. And with a lot of interesting answers. But anyway, matzah is a symbol of freedom. So this is very interesting. The same matzah, and this is what I want, we should think about at the Seder. We'll see how it works out at the Seder. The same matzah, which is the symbol of slavery, and the symbol of, oh, life is rough, and life is bad, and poor, is also the symbol of freedom, the same matzah. It's in the Torah. Oh. This fits with another pshat of the phrase lechem oni, which we discussed in class. Oni can mean affliction, it can mean oni, poor man's bread. What else can oni mean? The bread of talking. You're supposed to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim over the matzah. Remember we discussed that in class? That's why the matzah is supposed to be on the table during Magid. And that's why, not only that, the minhag is to uncover the matzah during most of Magid. So we're supposed to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim over the matzah. That's the simcha. You're supposed to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, matzah. That fits very well with the idea that matzah is the simcha, the excitement. The matzah is the bread of freedom. Oh, there's a beautiful gematria that the Achronim point out. It's 2a. That Lachma Anya is exactly 210. That's amazing. Lachma Anya, which is the Aramaic word for matzah, lechem oni, is 210. So this is going to be, this is deep here. So A210 is we left Mitzrayim at 210 years as opposed to at 400 years. We left Mitzrayim early, right? So Stam, it's interesting. This is, again, all of this is mentioned. There's a sefer called a Seder Ha'aruch. It's a wonderful 3-volume sefer on the Seder. Has everything. So all these things are quoted. Matzah is made in a way where you rush it out of the oven. So too, Hashem sort of took us out of Mitzrayim early. So it fits. Okay, that the way matzah is made fits with leaving early. And that's 210. That we left Mitzrayim after 210 years as opposed to after 400 years. But it's deeper than that. Because why do we leave early? The Torah says 400 years. Why do we leave early? So there's a whole discussion. There are many pshatim. So one pshat Chazal gives is that we left Mitzrayim early because the Mitzrayim, in a sense, overdid it. We deserved X amount of oppression for 400 years. The Mitzrayim went overboard. So in the 210 years that we were in Mitzrayim, we received what we deserved for the 400. Yeah, we discussed that? We discussed that? Well, I'll mention it again now because it's worth repeating. So it's very deep. We'll look at the Lukatria. Lach ma'anya, bread of affliction. Lach ma'anya, we'll see it in the Seder, is bread of affliction. It doesn't mean, lach ma'anya doesn't mean bread of speech. It means bread of affliction. In the Aramaic, it means anya, means bread of affliction. So that's 210. Why? This is deep. Since the Mitzrim oppressed us so severely, since the oppression was so bad, we ended up leaving early after 210 years. So it's very, very nice that lach ma'anya, which is the Aramaic term for oppression, bread of affliction, is the gematria of 210 that we ended up leaving early because it was so severe. You got that? I find that to be very deep. I'll say it again. We left Mitzrayim early after 210 years as opposed to 400 years. Why? Chazal gives a lot of pshatim. One pshat Chazal gives is that the Mitzrayim overdid it. They oppressed us so severely that in 210 years we received that which we would have deserved in 400 years. So it's because the oppression was so bad we left early. Well, so lach ma'anya means in Aramaic bread of affliction, and it means it's 210. Because the affliction was so bad, we left it 210 as opposed to 400 years. It's a very nice pshat. I forget which Acharon says it, but that combination is a very nice pshat. I don't repeat it here because it's worth hearing again. This is the famous idea that the Gro would find hints to things in Torah Shebaal Peh in the Chumash itself. The Gro would call it Harkula, everything backwards and forwards. The Gro had a Talmud, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, and Reb Chaim had a brother, Reb Zalman Volozhiner. He's also a great Gaon. Reb Zalman Volozhiner, they tell stories about him. They said his custom was that he would learn the Masechta about any mitzvah he was going to do. Like he'd learn Masechta Shabbos and Erev Shabbos and Erevin. I guess he'd do a brachas every day, I don't know. Whatever, he learned the Masechtas, and it was very intense. So the story goes, I'm not sure the story is true, but it could have been true. The story goes, they went to the Gra, and they felt that Reb Zalman was like overdoing it a little, it was too much. So they wanted the Gra to convince him, you know, to maybe, you know, take a step back. So the Gra spoke to him, and he said, you know, maybe change it a little, your schedule a little. So Reb Zalman said, yeah, but I've been doing it for a while, so it's like a neder already. So the Gra said, okay, so be matir neder. He said, fine, let me go learn Maseches Nedarim, then I'll be matir neder. That's the story they tell. I'm not sure it's true, but it could have been true. When Reb Zalman died, so someone said at his levaya, he knew Torah like the Gra. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner said, it's not true. It's a good word. I heard this word from, I'm not sure. He said, my brother knew Kol HaTorah Kula by heart forwards. The Gra knew Kol HaTorah Kula by heart forwards and backwards. Well, what does that mean? So it means like this. If I said Sashay by heart, we could say Sashay by heart. If I said Sashay by heart backwards, you'd have a hard time. Hallelujah. Olam. It's hard to go backwards. But if you open a sitter, then it's easy to read it backwards. The Gra, the Torah was like written in front of him. It says in the Torah that Uchsatma al Uchsaftam Alev Avecha, on your heart. So one of the Targum says, Ksuvan al Luach Livecha, written on the blackboard of your heart. Look down and it's there. So that was the Gra. Anyway, the Gra knew Kol HaTorah Kula forwards and backwards. So the Gra spent the last 10 years of his life finding hints to Torah Shebaal Peh in Torah Shebichsav. And it's very powerful. So one of them is as follows. I mentioned this. It's exactly this idea. So we left, it's supposed to be the 400 years, we left 190 years early. Why? As I'll say, because the Mitzrayim oppressed us so much. Which pasuk in the Torah mentions that we were oppressed so severely? By Yamaru Es Hayeda. And they made our lives so bitter that we left Mitzrayim early. The notes on that phrase is the Kadma of Yasla. Kadma means early, Asla means to go. Excuse me? The notes, the truck. When you lay from the Torah, there are notes, you know. This is called a Kadma Vyas, so it's amazing. The notes, the truck, on the phrase by Moritz Chayim, which is one of the sources in Chazal that we left Mitzrayim early, is Kadma Vyasa, which means to go early. And, this is incredible, the exact gematria of Kadma Vyasa is 190. That's amazing. It's not one off, it's exact. That's amazing. So that's the Gra. So that's a vort from the Gra. That's an amazing vort from, one second. That's an amazing vort from, okay. So that vort from the Gra fits perfectly with this Lach Ma'anya thing. Oh. So Matzah is the symbol of leaving Mitzrayim quickly, and it's the happy, the simcha leaving Mitzrayim. Now this fits also, matzah is always associated with being quick. We left Mitzrayim quickly. So the Rishonim say, the Chazal say, that matzah becomes a symbol of doing mitzvos bezrizus. Just like we left Mitzrayim quickly, so too we do mitzvos with zrizos, quickly, alacrity, I think is the English word. And that here in 2a, the pasuk says, "Ushmartim es hamatzos, guard the matzos." So Chazal say, Rashi there, oh here, it's Rashi. It's in your booklet on page 4. That's the famous Rashi. That the word matzos can also be read mitzvos. The word matzos can also be read mitzvos. And that just like Rashi quotes, just like you're not machmissin etz matzos, just like you don't leave the matzah over and let it sit there to become chametz, kach ein machmissin etz mitzvos. You shouldn't allow commandments to be left over. Grab the opportunity. Elim ba liyadcha aseh oso miyad. If you have a chance to do it, do it right away. Just like matzah is done quickly, mitzvahs are done quickly. So this fits with matzah being a symbol of the lead time in a quick way. So my wife and I were dating for a couple of months already, and it was Pesach. And her family used to go to Mount Airy Lodge for Pesach. You know what that is? Anyway, so I don't think people go there anymore. And so we were pretty serious already. So I was going to visit for Chol HaMoed. I was at my parents' house for this, and I drove up for Chol HaMoed. Okay, and then my closest friend, you know about Aaron Cohen, Shlita, from Rav and Pesach, teacher in Stern, very chashuva. He sent me, he knew I was going to be there, he sent me a note. And the note had two lines on it. One line said, look in the Rambam, Hilchos, Ishus, Perigimel, and look in this Rashi. That was the note. It was like two half sentences. See, there's a machlokas whether getting married is a mitzvah or not. Some say the mitzvah is to have kids, and the getting married is the right way to have kids. But there's no mitzvah to get married. But the Rambam says it's a mitzvah to get married. So my friend was hinting to me that the Rambam says it's a mitzvah to get married. And Rashi says don't push off a mitzvah for chances, but maybe now it's time to get engaged. Anyway, so we became engaged over Pesach. That's what happened. So that was a very, very yeshivish joke there. Very yeshivish. I should have kept it, the piece of paper. It's like a tiny piece of paper. Just two half sentences. Ayin Rambam, Hichos Ishus Perigimel. Ayin Rashi, Shmos Perigibes, Pazikis. Anyway. So there you go. Listen to my friend. Okay. Oh, let's go on. So good. So matzah symbolizes slavery, and matzah symbolizes freedom. Oh. So it fits very well. This all fits. Here we go. The Abarbanel, and what I'm saying now, Rav Mirsky quotes this idea. The Abarbanel points out, I mean, it's obvious, but the Abarbanel highlights it. We ate matzah twice when we left Mitzrayim. Let's not forget that. We really ate matzah twice. We ate matzah, as we know, as we were leaving, because we were rushed out. But we also ate matzah when? The night before, with the Karban Pesach, we ate matzah. Al matzah shemarim yochlu. We ate matzah twice. We ate matzah the night of the 15th, together with the Karban Pesach. We ate matzah the next day when we left Mitzrayim. Oh. And the Abarbanel points out, and Rav Mirsky, again, discusses this, the matzah we ate during the day when we were leaving, that's the matzah of freedom. The matzah at night was the matzah of slavery, because the Torah puts together that matzah together with the maror. It says, eat the Karban Pesach together with the matzah in Mar'al Matzah Shemom Yechuhu. So since the Torah groups the matzah with the maror, so this is very nice. At night, when we eat the Karban Pesach was the night symbol of freedom. The Karban Pesach was the whole symbol of breaking away from Mitzrayim. That's a whole discussion. The Chayrus, you know, killing their God and everything like that. And so as we're experiencing the Chayrus of eating the Karban Pesach, we're supposed to remind ourselves, you're going free now after so many years of slavery, the matzah and the maror. So the night matzah is the matzah of bread of affliction. And the day matzah we ate is the matzah of the geula, the matzah of freedom when we left Mitzrayim. It fits very, very well. Oh. And then Rav Mirsky says his little chiddush, which is a beautiful chiddush. I mentioned this chiddush to Rav Nevensol Shlita's son, and he liked it, and it's in Rav Nevensol's Haggadah. Rav Devin Zal Shlita has this chiddush in his Haggadah. It's very exciting. This is from Rav Mirsky. I told him Rav Mirsky said this, and they, okay. What is it? This is beautiful. Both themes of matzah are mentioned and discussed at the Seder. We start it. What's the first thing we say at the Seder? Halach ma'anya. This is the bread of affliction. This is the matzah, the slavery matzah. Then we have all of Magid. And at the end of Magid, we mention the matzah again. What do we say at the end of Magid? The Sfarim say it's the most important part of Magid. Rabbi Meir would say, you have to say these three things at the Seder. Pesach, matzah, umawar. Sometimes women, with their babies, it's hard to be at the Seder. They have to be there for this, at least. They have to say this, at least. When I wrote the Haggadah, I originally wrote they have to be there at least for this part. And my editor, a young mother with a lot of Baruch Hashem, a lot of kids, she says, if you write you have to be there for this part, you're going to have some getting back to the table, to be sitting at the table for this part. And she thought that it was not, you understand? You have to say this part. You don't have to be there. You have to say this part. Okay. Rabbi Gamliel HaYomer, that a person must say these three things at the Seder. Pesach, matzah, maror. So you say Pesach, and it says, why do we matzah at the Seder? What does the Haggadah say? Why do we matzah at the Seder? Because the Mitzvah rushed us out. So at the end of Magid, matzah is now the symbol of freedom. It's mamish perfect. During Magid, the matzah is converted from the matzah of slavery to the matzah of freedom. It's perfect. It's like the two bookends of Magid. So literally, it's like you have a fast forward button. The whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is told over the matzah. You start Magid with the matzah being the matzah of slavery. And by the end of Magid, after we've told the story and we've gone free, oh, now matzah becomes symbol of freedom. It's a very, very nice shot in the Haggadah. And this is why it makes sense that the matzah is on the table during Magid. You look at the matzah during Magid because you're actually telling the whole story over the matzah. When the Seder starts, the emphasis is the matzah of slavery. And by the time Magid's over, matzah becomes this matzah of freedom. And then you eat the matzah, it's both. I just experience it time through the matzah, then I do the mitzvah of matzah. You got that? That's Rav Mirsky's chiddush. It's a very nice pshat in the Haggadah. Okay. So one can ask a question, why? Why did Hashem work it out that matzah became the symbol of freedom? Now, matzah was a symbol of slavery, that's for sure. Hashem could have made anything the symbol of freedom. Hashem worked it out that the same thing that for decades, generations, was a symbol of slavery, became the symbol of freedom. I have a Brooklyn Bakery brownies. It would have been a lot more pleasant if Hashem made Brooklyn Bakery brownies the symbol of freedom. Wouldn't it be very easy to eat a kazayas in 2 minutes? Chazanish kazayas. Would have been great. Get out there and you have your bakery. Oh my gosh, wow. Hashem could have done anything. Why did Hashem work it out that matzah was converted? Oh. So I thought the pshat was, again, I saw this in Sfarim, that this is part of the message of Pesach, the message of Nes Nigla, the message of Hashem controls the whole world. Only Hashem could have done this. Only Hashem could have done this. If you're a kid living in Mitzrayim, you're a teenager, and someone says, you know what? In 8 months from now, matzah is going to be your favorite food. You're going to have the fondest memories of matzah. You're going to say, well, you got to be crazy. Matzah? When I think of matzah, I think of Abba being beaten and terrible and Ima crying because he's Abba's beaten up at work and we're slaves. Matzah conjures up all the most horrible memories and thoughts for hundreds of years. And that becomes the freedom. That itself becomes part of the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. When Hashem runs the world, Hashem's in total control. That's what Nes Nigla means. Hashem can change nature. Hashem can change the course of history. The fact that the same symbol, which for so many generations was the symbol of slavery, that becomes the symbol of freedom. That is a beautiful expression of Hashem's complete control over the world, Hashem's complete control over nature and over history. And I thought you could add to this that if you take what the Sforno and the Shloss say earlier, why they ate matzah? Because the Mitzvah rushed them back to work. And then in the end, why do we eat matzah? Because they were rushing us out. It's beautiful. In other words, for 210 years, that knock on the door was, oh no, Abba's got to go back to work now. Like you had nightmares from the knock on the door. That they're rushing the men back to work, so they had to make matzah instead of bread for their lunch break. And then that same knock on the door, the exact same knock on the door about the matzah, was to go free instead of to go back to work. So I hope that it's very sharp. It's a very sharp contrast. It's not just that the matzah came the symbol of freedom, but even why we made matzah. We made matzah because rushed out versus being rushed back to work versus being rushed out. All right. So this is matzah. Hashem runs the world. That's the message of Pesach. And matzah becomes a symbol of freedom. Okay. The freedom of Pesach is the freedom to serve Hashem. That's what it's about. There are many, many connections between Pesach and Matan Torah. It's the freedom. I told you that whenever I ask questions at the Seder, my kids know, the answer always is, this shows that the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to get the Torah on Har Sinai. That's no matter what, if I ask a question, that's always the answer. All right. People do different things at their seders to have kids ask questions, right? It says in the Sfarim, you give your kids nuts. Kleis in a gozin. Roasted nuts. I'm sorry?
My father buys candy.
Excuse me?
He buys candy before Pesach.
Who? Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, so now I'm not sure. It depends what type of house you have. Nuts doesn't always work. Roasted walnuts. Whoa. That's going to really get the kids excited. But for some kids, in some homes, it sure it does. So most people use chocolate chips. So what I did one year, a couple years, I did chocolate chips and mushrooms. Marshmallows. Sorry. Marshmallows. Sorry. In other words, any question was chocolate chips, and a good question was a marshmallow. So I decided not to tell my wife about this. So I think I told you this in class. I don't know. So the Seder starts, and one of my kids asked the question. So I tossed a chocolate chip at him. So my kids chopped what was going on. They started asking questions. I said, chocolate chip, good. I said, marshmallow. So my wife says, what are you doing? So I threw a chocolate chip at her. And my kids loved it. And then she said, what's going on here? I threw a marshmallow. It was great. The kids loved it. So it worked. It was the very, very memorable. That was the very memorable part of this. I hope you also tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but that was a memorable part of the Seder. What are you doing? Anyway. So I kitzer. So, it's interesting. There's a discussion. When do you give the kids the candies? Some say give the kids the candies before the Seder starts. Some say right before the Manishtana. So in my book I have a joke that I assume the kids don't mind if you're machmir to do it both. Anyway, in the originals, in the Yulkan the Svarim, some say right before the Seder, and some say at the Manishtana. Okay. Anyway, guys, it's about doing mitzvahs. And there's a beautiful idea here. And Rav Willow, I've heard him say it many times, and then I saw that he wrote it. So once he wrote it, you can read it inside together. And that's like this. It's on the last page. Okay, so matzo we saw. Ushmartim sa matzos, you should be excited and grab mitzvos. So this means you should run to do mitzvos. What a person runs to reflects what's important in life. What do you run after? What a person runs to reflects what's important. So the message of Pesach is, you're free. You're free to serve Hashem, so run to do mitzvos. That's what you should be doing. Why are you free? A slave can't do anything. But now you're free, so run to do mitzvos. That's ushmartim es ha-matzos, ushmartim es ha-mitzvos. Just like matzos are made quickly and you're in a rush, so to mitzvos. And he quotes here, you know, when you make a siyum, so again, I've heard Abulik say this, but I saw that he wrote it recently, so now we can read it inside. In the Siyum we say, we run and they run. Anu ratzim v'heim ratzim. We run olam haba, they run liber shachas. They run to a bad place. So, what do you run to? So, for many people, what do they run to? They run to work, to be on time to work. Okay. And then, And this is the perfect mashal, especially if you have, for some of you, or if you have brothers or whatever, you run to sports events. Let's say you go to a baseball game, and you're late, and you want to be there for the opening pitch. So like you park your car, and it's a long walk, in the park, and you're like running, like, you know, everyone's running. I don't know if you ever went to these games. People are like running to get in because you want to be there on time. You want to be there for the national anthem or for the first pitch, or you go to a basketball game. You don't want to miss any. People run to baseball games. They really do. So what about like running to a shir? Running to a chavrusa? Running to make, you know, the first, you know, the running to make, you know, baruch hu at Maariv? It's a very, very powerful mashal and piece of musar from Rav Willig that we should think about on Pesach. Here he goes. He says, at Asiyam we say, we run to the words of Torah and they run to meaningless things. The Pachad Yitzchak contrasts the alacrity of the non-Torah world with the Jews' requirement to attempt to break the barrier of time by hastening to perform mitzvahs. Look at, this is an amazing paragraph, guys. On the last page, it's the third paragraph it's the bottom paragraph that's bolded. Our children keenly observe our pace in approaching Torah mitzvahs, as well as our pace in dealing with worldly matters. In the world around us, people run to work, and that's their enterprise, but even more so to enjoyable sports and entertainment events. If we do so, and do not run to Torah mitzvahs, it conveys an attitude which can have negative impact on ourselves, and certainly on our children. So, this is powerful. Matzah is a symbol of slavery and symbol of freedom. We're free. The freedom is the freedom to serve Hashem. We should take the excitement and the zrizus of matzah and put it into mitzvahs. And we have to make sure that we don't give ourselves the wrong impression. We don't have the wrong impression. Think about it. You run to a sports event. You run to be the first one. I don't know if there's a sale and, you know, you want to avoid the stampede, whatever. So you know, and we run for that. But do we run, you know, to the Tehillim that's going to be said, if there's a Tehillim, a community Tehillim? Do we run to a shir? Do we run to get ready for Shabbos a little earlier? And these are very important, ideas. Okay, I'll just mention 1 minute and then we'll stop. It's an idea about, if you want a little chizuk for running to mitzvos, a little chizuk from Rav Nevin Sol Shlita. If you need a little inspiration to run to mitzvos. So it says Moshe was afraid of Og, fighting Og. Had it been Moshe was afraid to fight Og, because Hashem said, Al tiroso, don't be afraid. So Moshe was afraid. Hashem had to calm Moshe down in a sense. Al tiroso. Why was Moshe afraid? So Rashi quotes, because Og had a schus. Og was the palit. Og was the guy that was saved from the war, who came running to tell Avraham that Lot was taken captive. And that ultimately led for Lot being saved. So that schus of Lot made Moshe afraid. So Hashem had to calm him down. That's why it doesn't say Moshe was afraid of them. The Kli Yaakov points out, Al tira oso, don't be afraid of him. Moshe wasn't afraid of his army. He was afraid of him. It's a nice shot. Al tira oso. Why did Og tell Avram Lot was in trouble? What does Rashi say? Because he wanted Avram to go to war to save Lot and get killed, so Og can marry Sarah. About the worst intention you can possibly have. We would call that an Aveira. You'd call that an Aveira. Okay? But in the end, it led to something positive. So that so-called Aveira / mitzvah, Moshe was afraid of. And not only that, Rav Nemetzal points out, Og had gotten a lot of schar already. Og had lived hundreds of years. Chazal said he was alive at the Mabul. But at least from the time of Avraham till now, hundreds of years he was alive already. He was the head of a big kingdom. He received a lot of reward. And yet, so Og did, and we call an Aveira / mitzvah. He received a huge amount of schar already. And Moshe was still afraid. It's amazing. So what's the message for us? Rav Nemetzal, right? A very powerful Musar. The message is, look and appreciate mitzvos. If Og received so much schar we call an Aveira mitzvah, then all the more so, what tzchar are we going to receive? You answer Amen. You say one bracha with kavana. You try to say Ashiyatzer a little better. You go to a shir. Every mitzvah that we do, you hold back from Lashon Hara. Every mitzvah that we do, imagine the schar, it's incredible. It's a beautiful shot, just push up shot in that Rashi. If Moshe was afraid of Og because of that mitzvah, the schar of that mitzvah, and that mitzvah was, we call it an Averos, an Avera mitzvah, whatever word you want to call it, Kal Vachomer. So we should take chizuk and inspiration, and we should run to do mitzvos like we're in a rush to make the matzahs. Okay. We'll stop here.